Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus continues his sermon on the plain, and it goes against perhaps everything we like about YouTube. That is to say, on YouTube, there's a channel called Instant Karma. Maybe you've not heard of it, maybe you have, but it is really sweet. Because what they show is somebody speeding by a car. And then the policeman's right in front of them, turns on his lights, and pulls them over. Or there's other revenge sites. I don't publish those, watch those at all. But we all know the feeling of when somebody in the snow has piled up all the snow on your sidewalk and in your side and out in the middle of the street. Oh, man. And then it happens. The truck comes by and pushes all that snow right into their driveway. What a feeling. That is how the world works, we believe. Vengeance, instant karma, is so common in our society that we think that's the way it works. But Jesus turns the idea on its head, the idea of fairness. Now, last week, Jesus turned our world upside down by saying that those who are poor, hungry, and sad, and hated are blessed. And those who are rich, well-fed, happy, and favored are under God's judgment. Jesus knew, and the Word of God still shows us, that we're in a world where the wealthy oppress the weak. An eye for an eye is the right thing to do. But the disciples were supposed to be very different. Love your enemies. Two times he says it. And the word here used is agape, and it does not mean romantic love. It doesn't mean friendship. It doesn't mean family. What it means is a wholehearted, unreserved, unconditional desire for the well-being of the other, expecting nothing in return. That is how we are supposed to treat our enemies. And that also means that they are under no obligation as well to do something nice for you. And this teaching of Jesus in St. Luke is one of the most difficult ones to put in practice. After all, even at the beginning where he says, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. And then he talks about a couple of circumstances in which we also need to understand Jesus' society, because he's not talking about somehow you're supposed to be beaten up or abused or those kind of things. What he is talking about is his society, which lived like this, that had masters and slaves. And what was to go on is that if a master had to discipline a slave, there was a certain way to go about it. They would stand face to face. The slave would admit to what they had done, and the master would agree that there was to be punishment, and then they would smite them, backhand them on the right cheek. Now, what Jesus is saying here is not to take a beating, but when the master does that, to make it impossible for him to do it, quote, the socially acceptable way. That is, if you turn the left cheek, he cannot do it. And so therefore, since he cannot do it, it shows his powerlessness unless he is actually an abusive person who doesn't deserve any respect in the community. That's what's going on. It is a form of peaceful resistance. And the second one, too, this, if one does this, take your cloak. And here Jesus is talking about soldiers. Roman soldiers were allowed to take your cloak. And it was a form of extortion. You'll get the Coke back when you pay me the money, or that you do something, or that you have something for me. And Jesus says, fine. If they are going to insist upon that, then give them the shirt off your back as well. And they can explain how unjust they are, because the community sees that this person is simply not right. And so Jesus is not advocating for chaos here. He is advocating for a resistance to that which is evil. Striking the cheek, the wrong cheek, was to show that you weren't in the right relationship under the gospel. To give somebody something, like the soldier, the shirt off your back, or to give to somebody who asks and expect it not to be returned, is a form of passive resistance. Can you imagine if somebody says, hey, I need something, and you give it to them, and instead of listening to them say, oh, I'll pay you back eventually, or, well, you know, we'll make it right in a week or two, you just say, no, you don't make promises like that. Now, for most of us, when we hear that, we'd go, well, how does that shame a person? Well, when you come up and you ask for something and the person says, oh, I'll give it back, imagine what they say when you say, I know you won't give it back. Here, take it. You need it. Now, that is kind of a cold kind of love. However, Jesus continues on and shows us that we are to be generous and merciful because our Father in heaven is generous and merciful. Christians do not have to decide whether someone is worth doing something for, or worth giving to, or worth showing how unjust society is. We're all unworthy before God. There is not one who does anything for God that somehow puts God in your debt. Even though we practice this obligation thing pretty well in our society. To highlight it, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Philippines back in the 1970s. I had a professor who traveled there. And he told us, and it was pretty clear what was going on, that what you had was a vest, and all the men of age wore this vest, and on it was sewn their obligations. That is, if somebody loaned them a pack of cigarettes, they would have a pack of cigarettes signed, sewn into their vest. And this would go on so that when you looked at the person, you knew he was under obligation to someone. And what that means is they would have to do what the other person said. You see, we practice this as well. Can I do something? Will you do this? And we expect repayment. In fact, even sometimes Christmas gifts are done this way. We redistribute gifts. We receive gifts and give gifts. And Jesus is saying, that's just what the sinners do. They have their obligations and they pay each other back. You are to be different. You are to give without obligation. That is, you aren't going to come back and say to them, oh, now you need to do this for me. Or even worse, now you need to do this for Jesus. For Jesus did not die, he did not suffer, he was not raised again, so that he put the entire world under obligation so that they must do stuff for him. That's what we mean by grace and mercy. Jesus Christ took all the unlovable and evil, sinful people and died for them all. And that is all that goes on. We don't have to decide whether an individual deserves God's love or not. It's real simple. They don't, you don't, I don't. But God is merciful. And so then the mark of the believer is to be merciful. And so we are to conclude by giving and being and praying for those who are enemies. Jesus concludes, of course, this section with judge not and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And what Jesus is not saying is that somehow anything goes. Some ways of behaving are better than others, and judging certainly does need to be done with humility. But we make no mistake, we are called to judge and to separate. But what Jesus is teaching here is against the idea of stereotyping and pigeonholed in the gossipy way that we usually put people into this. Oh, they're Republicans. Oh, they're Democrats. Oh, they're conservative. Oh, they're liberal. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. Or they certainly aren't acting very Christian, and judging them on that basis. Jesus calls us to agape, to love those unconditionally for their own good and expecting nothing in return. Today, God blessed us with a baptism of a young boy, took him into the kingdom. Notice what we didn't ask. We didn't ask, well, has Lou been a good boy this week? Has Lou done what his parents have said? Is Lou, all these things that we measure and judge and sometimes condemn. That is with us as well. God is generous. The morally and ethically rotten world around us is destroying itself with its thirst of vengeance and judging and condemnation. Everywhere you turn, it seems someone is trying to get something from someone else, to hurt them or put them in their place over things that have happened recently or decades or centuries ago. And it's all done in the name of justice. But you and I are called to a different standard. You and I have been loved. We who deserve nothing but punishment and sin have been loved by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so we are in his salvation, every one of us. And whatever your specific concern might be, remember, you cannot lose anything that God hasn't given you already. You have been given the greatest gift of eternal life with Jesus, not as a slave or a servant, but as a brother and sister in Christ. God's love for you is unconditional, freeing you to love your enemies. You can be generous with what he has given you, because your reward is safe in heaven. Jesus calls us to look to him for salvation. And he calls us by our actions and words to point to his generosity where people can see it in the brotherhood and sisterhood of Jesus Christ. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.